God's word is a fire in my bones,
and I cannot keep it in.
We are not building an institution or a program.
We are building the kingdom of God.
This is Do Not Keep Silent.
Welcome in to Do Not Keep Silent. My name is Jason DeZurich, your host for the program. Find us online at donotkeepsilent.com. Yeah, don't be a pushover again. This is Do Not Keep Silent. I'm your host, Jason DeZurich. Appreciate you being with me. Want to be sharing with you an interview that I had with a good friend of mine. His name is Rob Obenauer. He's an educator here in Ohio at a government-run school. And I wanted to share with you some thoughts that he has because he really wants to help you the parents, not just to understand the responsibility that you have regarding into raising your children, but how much he and other educators like himself actually want to help you to raise your children into good and right ways of thinking, and how he as an educator can help you out. So I'm definitely looking forward to sharing that interview with you all tonight. Again, you can find us online at donotkeepsilent.com. That's donotkeepsilent.com. When we come back, I'll be sharing with you that interview. Right now, though, getting us started off is one of our Fastcasts for Worldview Warriors.
This is the Worldview Warriors Fastcast,
your daily spiritual energy drink,
with your host,
Jason DeZurich.
1 Peter 2, 2 through 3 says, "Therefore, rid yourselves of malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. Like newborn babies, crave spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. Know that you have tasted that the Lord is good." Crave spiritual milk. Crave spiritual teaching, knowledge, and wisdom, so that we may mature in our relationship with Christ. Friends, once we start to study and grow in the Word of God, well, we will desire and crave the spiritual teachings of God. Now that you've tasted and seen that the Lord is good. Friends, together, let's dive into the Word of God like we're diving into, well, a scrumptious piece of cake or pie, and crave spiritual maturity like we crave our favorite treat. Friends, to dig into more on this idea, why not go check out Amy Samuel's blog post entitled Crave.
Find us online
at worldviewwarriors.org.
Welcome into this interview, friends. This is Jason DeZurich. I thank you for taking time to tune in to this interview. Today I am interviewing a good friend of mine. His name is Rob Obenauer. He is a school teacher in the public school system. How are you doing there, Rob?
I'm doing well. How are you doing, Jason, and the family and everybody?
I am spectacular. Thank you so much for asking. And Rob, I just, as we get started here, wanted to kind of help people see kind of where we're going. So I'm just going to lay a quick foundation here for you, friends. Earlier in the month, I shared something about, online schooling and just how it seems that some teachers are, in essence, trying to hide things they're doing to parents. And I was just really concerned about that. So I posted it online and it just was concerning. But what's really great is Rob decided to chime in on this thread. And I was like, oh, good. Somebody who actually is a part of this whole thing. And what he wrote was, "I post all my lessons on our public format. In that way, our parents can see the actual lessons and the progression I'm hoping to achieve." Now, if you've been under a rock, friends, then you have no idea what's going on in the world. We have the coronavirus going on. We have lots of riots going on. And the world is just seriously changing. And so with that said, that also means some of our schooling is starting to change too. So, Rob, again, welcome into the program. I thank you for being here. And you also wrote this. "Now we have to admit that sometimes students, in their desire to learn more, are going to ask provocative questions in class, which need to be handled professionally and respectfully." So with that said, where were you going with that?
I'm just going from the standpoint that, number one, I think we need to be, as public school teachers, we need to be open to providing as much communication as we possibly can with parents and with students.
Yes.
And with community members. And so that's why I post my lessons, and I'm sure that most of our teachers at our public school do the same thing. Post our lessons on our lesson board, and then parents can look at it, parents can go through it, and I even have parents that email me questions about the lesson, or they'll email me, okay, where are you planning to go with this, or whatever it is. So that's why I think that's important. But here's the reality, and we all got to face that reality. Students with the access of technology today, students are going to be on Facebook, they're going to be on Twitter, they're going to be on Instagram, they're going to be on all these different formats, and there's going to be a variety of different ideas and questions and everything like that that's out there. Students are going to, in the midst of a class discussion, you can have it all on the line, all everything that could be out there, and see, but a student is going to ask questions that are provocative, or I mean from provocative from the standpoint of, well, if you're saying this, somebody else is saying this, how do you justify that? That's what I mean by provocative.
Okay.
And so students are going to ask those things. And that's why, I mean, that we as teachers, one, have to be prepared for that to happen. And in the midst of the discussion in class, we can't just blurt out and say, well, in my opinion, it's this. Because that opinion is one opinion, but there are hundreds of different opinions. And in my classroom, let's say I have 26 students there, it's very likely I'm going to have 24 different opinions,
right,
of something. So I think it's important to understand going in, we're going to have provocative questions, and then be willing and confident enough to throw it out there and have a discussion with it about it in the midst of the particular lesson plan. You won't be able to do this if all you're interested in is meeting this standard and this standard and this standard. And so you're just going through the standards 100 miles an hour. You're not going to be able to do that. But it's important in today's society, I believe, with the students that have the knowledge, that have a variety of questions about a variety of different things, and with so many opinions about different things, we've got to be willing to open it up and give the kids a forum to discuss it professionally and to discuss it where everybody's listening to each other, not just arguing. It's got to be listening to each other and then coming back and forth if there is a back and forth.
Right, right. No, I completely hear you. And I'm just curious, too. You shared that basically, you know, that there's so many, multiple search engines, and, you know, technology is just seriously advanced in today's day and age. And as you said, there's so many weird and deceiving ideologies out there. So it sounds as if you're really open to, I don't want to say having parents necessarily, you know, look over the shoulder of their child per se if they're doing online learning, but at least being willing if there's times where they're like, you know, what happened here? It sounds like you're open at least to parents, you know, engaging you. Is that right?
Oh, absolutely. Oh, yeah, absolutely. I have some parents that email me on a weekly basis. I have some parents that email me periodically. The good part is that me as a person in the community, and I grew up in the community, I'm often at ball games, or I'm at quiz bowl events, or whatever it is, and I open opportunities for parents to discuss with me, or ask me questions, or ask about how their students are doing, or any of those kinds of things. I love doing that as part of my job. I understand that that's part of my job, and so I love doing that.
You know, as you being, you know, I mean, you've been in education for many, many years now. It's easy to call you a veteran in what you're doing. How many years have you been in education now?
This is year 33.
Okay, so yeah, you are definitely a guy that's been there a while, haven't you?
Yeah.
So with that being said, you know, what kind of changes have you seen? I don't want to go into tons, but that impact what's going on now, how have things changed, like, since when you first started?
Well, I think the three things that have created a lot of change. One is just the amount of access that parents have to teachers, their students, teachers, on a daily or weekly or monthly basis. It used to be that you went to parent-teacher conferences, and that might be the only time that you as a parent might see the teacher, and the teacher might see the parent, or maybe at a ball game or something.
Right.
Today, with the amount of different activities, we have open house and we have parent-teacher conferences, and a lot of schools like ours have parent-teacher conference in the fall and in the spring. And then you have emails, and you have communication formats, a lot of opportunities for communication is a big difference than what it used to be. And as a veteran teacher, I can't just say, all right, I'm going to believe in the old school system in which I'm going to do this. No, I have to, if I'm going to be an effective teacher, I have to be effective for my students and for my colleagues and for my administration and for parents in the community. I have to be willing to communicate in a lot of those different formats. Number two, that's different today than what it was in the past, is there's a lot of different formats for learning. I mean, my goodness, there's videos that you can use in your lesson. There's different critical thinking things that you can get one person saying this and compare and contrast that versus somebody else saying that. You got to be willing to do this to engage students. You can't just lecture. You can't just, do the same thing it used to be. So you have to really be willing to use a variety of different formats in your daily lessons and in your unit plans and things like that to really engage students, also to understand that students still learn at the same processing. There's some kids that are stronger kinesthetically. There's some that are stronger verbally. I mean, there's just a lot. You have to be willing to do a lot of. And then number three is the technology. You got to be willing to use technology in a lot of different formats.
Yeah.
It's just important. So those are the things that I think are important. And if you don't, if you're not communicating, you're not engaging, and you're not in introducing technology, you're going to be not only behind with students, but you're going to be behind. And this is where you're going to lead to problems in communication with parents.
So with that said, you're talking about getting involved in technology. Are you just kind of saying that, across the whole board, across the spectrum, or are you mainly targeting like parents, or are you mainly targeting teachers, or what with that, with that idea?
Yes.
Okay. That's a great question. That's a great answer. Yes.
Yeah. The answer is yes. You got to be willing to, another cool part about today's teaching and education is there's so many opportunities you have to engage with your colleagues and with people that are in other schools. And I mean, this is something that's actually encouraged by schools, is communicating with other teachers, with other school districts, with other things about what lessons work, what don't. And you got to be willing to do that to not only make your lessons more engaging, but this is going to give you opportunities to find out what other people do to communicate better with parents and with community members and getting kids involved in community projects. Oh my goodness. There's so many opportunities out there for classroom teachers, even if it's in a subject area like history, like mine.
Yeah.
There's so many opportunities to get kids engaged in the community, get kids engaged in things that we got a community greenhouse going on. And yeah, you can say, well, greenhouse, that's FFA. And sure. But you know what? Our kids in my class need to understand what's important about having a community-based, a community-based situation of a greenhouse. What's important about, having a community dialogue with like the Lions Club or getting involved in these? It's important in today's society to be willing to do that. And that's another thing that you have to be willing to do.
That's great. Also, Rob, if it's all right, as again, someone who's been in education for over 30 years, and I would assume, just because I know you and you like to, educate, I would assume that you seek into teachers who maybe, are a bit green or they're very new to the profession. So with that being said, for someone listening, tuning in, and maybe they're wanting to get into education, or they've been around, less than 5 years, you could just, I know we're on the radio, but if you look them right in the eye, what is something you could share with them that is so important regarding them and their relationship with the parents of the children they're teaching?
Well, you know what? There's a lot of misconception about that out there. A lot of the educational areas today, institutions today, especially around here with Ohio Northern, with Bowling Green, with Toledo, with a lot of those different kinds of things, they're doing a pretty good job of preparing students to communicate with parents or student teachers to communicate with parents.
Oh, that's good.
And it's very, our institutions around here are doing a great job. Of course, this is why our students are in such demand. I mean, our kids, if they want to go and teach in Florida or South Carolina or North Carolina or any whatever it is, They go to these job fairs, our students from up here get hired, bang, right away, because they're being taught in our institution. You know, and I'm on year 33. This will be my 28th student teacher that I'm going to have this year out of 33 years. And I make sure that I communicate with that. Don't just do it in your student teaching, but practice it from day one. Have an online presence. Have communications with parents. Set up like when you're, for instance, here's an example. I have an online video format that the kids use. I tell the students, put your email on there so it comes to you. Put your parents' email on there so your parents can watch the video. The parents can get it up. They want to learn what you're learning as much as what you want to learn. So you've got to be willing to do that. And I always stress that with my student teachers too. Make sure you provide opportunities, not just between yourself and parents, but also with what the students are learning. Provide opportunities for parents to be able to engage in that same learning.
Okay. I think that's great. You know, too, I think sometimes, and you know my feelings, I think, on this, sometimes it seems as if parents, I just want to pass it on to the educator to be the one that's solely responsible and completely the one that educates their kid. And a lot of times, parents don't really take on that responsibility of that they really are the one ultimately responsible to make sure that their child's learning. Now, my struggle with that is sometimes I think some parents really want to help and some teachers push them away. I'm not saying all. I think it happens, though.
That does happen, sure.
But, you know, for parents, what is something you could encourage them with of how they can be more involved with their child, per se, whether it's, whether it's home or, again, in this communication with a teacher more? What would you recommend?
I would recommend, first and foremost, go to open house. Your school is going to have open house.
Okay.
I know that parents often say, well, you know, I went to open house when my kids was when they were in elementary school, whatever it is, or I got to work or whatever. You know what? Take an opportunity. It's going to take a couple hours out of your time, one evening. Go to open house. Engage your students, teachers. Find out what go along with their schedule to find out who the teachers are. Introduce yourself. Find out, do those kind of things. Take a business card with you. So you can exchange business cards with teachers. So the teachers know how to get a hold of you. You know how to get a hold of a teacher. That's a simple thing you can do. So one is open house. Go to open house. That's what it's for. It's for people. Okay.
So I just want to, before you get to number two, so it's not just an orientation for the new students. Is that what I'm hearing you say?
Yeah, right. It's not just that. No.
Okay.
It is partly that, but it's right. Also something where the teachers get to know the parents, and the parents get to know the teacher.
Good, okay.
So that's important. Two, do not be afraid to have a dialogue over email with your teachers. Yes, your teachers are busy. Yes, your teachers are going to get hundreds of emails every day. Doesn't matter. Do it. If you have a question or if you want clarification, send an email. I mean, it comes to the teacher every day. The teacher looks at his email. He or she has to keep his email up in case we have something that happens at the school. They may not get back to you right away, but eventually they're going to. And most times email today can come to your phone. So you can, even if you go home from school, you can look at your email.
Right.
Be willing as a parent to email your teachers because that helps the teacher as well as it helps you get clarification to know that. And be willing to tell your students that you're doing it. Don't do it out of a threat. Just simply say,
right,
hey, I emailed your teacher the other day and asked about this, da da da. As long as your student knows that you're emailing back and forth, that's going to be helpful.
Okay.
So, yeah, be willing to go to open house. Be willing to go to parent-teacher conferences. Be willing to email and communicate. Teachers don't get upset about that. They really don't.
Okay. I think that's really good to know. I think sometimes parents, at least some I talk to, they feel like they're kind of an alien there or not welcomed. And I'm not saying that's on the teacher or anything. It's just sometimes I think, like you said, with the communication not happening, it makes it so that there's walls up that really, they need to be taken down.
Right. And it's kind of the old school. In the old school thing, we just didn't have communication, so you didn't email. The only time you did is, well, you did a parachute conference. Well, we had fun. It's 21st century. You got to get beyond that.
Right, right. Well, I really appreciate you taking time to be with us, Rob. And friends tuning in, I hope you've been encouraged and equipped somewhat to deal with the school year that's coming up here. And I hope you've got some really good ideas. At least maybe you can put maybe one, maybe two into action. And, you know, Rob, before we get out of here, I always ask all my guests this question. Again, friends, for those just joining, Rob has over 30 years of experience in the public school system, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. So he's been doing this quite a while. But before we get out of here, I always ask my guests one question. And that question is this. And for those tuning in, I never really let the guest know I'm asking this question because I want to hear what they have to say off the cuff. And that question is this. If there was just one thing, Rob, you could share with our listeners, and it can be about anything. If there was just one thing you could share with our listeners, what would that one thing be?
Oh, that's a very good question.
Well, thank you.
What is one thing that I want to share? Well, honestly, one of the things that I want to share is that the Lord provides gifts to people. Please be willing to hear God's call with your gifts, and please be willing to act on those gifts that the Lord has given you. When I sat in high school, when I was a senior and figuring out what I want to do with my life, I sat there and I said, I will never teach and I will never come back to this institution. You know what? Don't tell the Lord never. Because God changed me. He knew what I was supposed to be. And that's an educator. And so you have to listen to God's call. Do it. If it's an educator, great. If it's not, if it's going out and being in construction, do it. Figure out what God's calling. Be willing to open your heart. Be willing to open your mind. Be willing to accept what God's call and your and His will in your life is. You will never be able to pay Him back for that. And you will be blessed every single day.
And on that note, friends, we're going to end this interview. And, friends, Rob is an educator. For sure. Rob Obenauer, who I've been talking to and, well, discussing this interview with. Rob, thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, let's talk again, man.
Absolutely. We need to. And friends, again, you go out and make today great. And thank you so much for tuning in to this interview.
This is the Worldview Warriors Fastcast,
your daily spiritual energy drink
with your host,
Jason Dezurek.
Jesus came to give us true life and to restore the broken relationship of man to his creator. We were created for paradise with God. We all know that something is wrong in the world. A cursory glance at creation cries out that all is not well. Evil exists, and the devil prowls around like a roaring lion, like a strutting peacock, if you will. Evil men and women gain and gain, while God's righteous few are hunted down. I encourage you to check out Psalm 73 to dig more into this idea, and I earnestly plead with you to believe the promise of Jesus. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy, and Jesus says, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full.
Find us online
at worldviewwarriors.org.
Yeah, find us online at worldviewwarriors.org. That's worldviewwarriors.org. I hope you were encouraged and equipped with that interview. Rob, we thank you so much for being with us here on Do Not Keep Silent, again, a ministry with Worldview Warriors. You can find us at worldviewwarriors.org. That's worldviewwarriors.org. As we are getting ready to get out of here, I wanted to let you know about one of our brand new resources that we released back in August, 10 Reasons to Believe the Bible, written by C.A. Wolcott. Friends, the 10 reasons, by the way, the construction of the Bible, revelation of the Bible, prophecies of the Bible, opposition against the Bible. Number 5 is preservation of the Bible. Number 6, relevance of the Bible and accuracy of the Bible. Number 7. Number 8 is the honesty that we see in the Bible. Number 9 is public affirmation of the Word of God. And lastly, number 10, testimony of the saints. Friends, Charlie digs into the 10 reasons to believe the Bible. Again, available in paperback and on Kindle. And just to take a deeper look into one of these right now is, well, we're continuing on here. The last one, testimony of the saints. Friends, the lives of those who have believed the Bible, it proves its validity. Those who don't believe it also prove it. Friends, the Bible is true. Friends, in all of Charlie's studies, including listening to the detractors, he's found absolutely nothing which even comes close to authentically refuting the Bible. Friends, when it's fully investigated, everything always reveals what the Bible said was true all along. Again, you can find this resource, 10 Reasons to Believe the Bible, on Worldview Warriors website, worldviewwarriors.org. That's worldviewwarriors.org. It's available in paperback and in Kindle. Again, you can find it there. 10 Reasons to Believe the Bible, written by C.A. Wolcott. And this is Do Not Keep Silent. Find us online at donotkeepsilent.com. That's donotkeepsilent.com. Thanks for tuning in to the program. You go out and make today great. You don't know.
Be made new in Jesus Christ.
I won't play your games. Just let me be.
Find us online
at donotkeepsilent.com.